First of all, I would like to remind you what has been done in the last lecture. So the starting point for me was some kind of explicit formula for the density of states of Riemann zeros. This is a function which has a delta peaks in any one Riemann zero. There are two parts, one of the corresponding to the mean density of state, and the second, the most important, includes the summation over prime, because I remind you that lambda functions is zero only when n is prime or power of prime. If you know this, I use it to compute correlation functions of Riemann zero. The correlation function which I have defined is a mean value of product of few functions like this. Once more, the difference between mathematics here, you have T, but I will use E because it's like energy of some dynamical system. This is standard notations here. So, what I have to prove, or at least to what I have to show, that when E goes to infinity, this function computed from Riemann zero tends in certain sense to endpoint correlation functions of random matrix ensembles, which has a form of determinant of products of some kind of sinus functions. And to do this, I will heavily use Hardy-Littlewood conjecture, which counts the number of prime pairs which are different by some fixed number. And according to this conjecture, which is still from 23, is not even close proof of it, it should be equal n log squared of n times some special function alpha, which has the following form. Okay, I did. And alpha is equal, according to this conjecture, it's really the main term, but nobody was succeeding to see what is residual. Alpha is equal sum over 2 for all pairs of coprime numbers, Möbius function divided by Euler function squared, and e to pi p over q h. One can also rewrite exactly this expression in the following form. You have 2c2, some constant which is a product of primes, and products of p divided h, and p is bigger than 2, p minus 1, p minus 2, if n is even, and of course it's 0 if n is odd. So, yesterday I have showed how one can, if we plug in this conjecture and ignore all correction terms and even not write them, then in two lines one will get the following formula. The two-point correlation functions of Riemann zeros has three terms. First is a simple, it's just mean density of state. Second, which I call the diagonal approximation, is that this is for epsilon is not equal zero. Epsilon is the difference of two arguments. Because otherwise there is also contribution of delta function, which I did not write here. Then diagonal approximation is the second derivative of log of zeta function, but now in the point 1 plus e epsilon times a certain convergence sum of over primes. And all diagonal contribution has the same form with the same zeta function here. It is modulus of the same functions times very important terms 2 pi e mean density of states times epsilon, and then some kind of off-diagonal contribution. And now appear something which was some kind of misunderstanding probably yesterday, what it means. You see, this function depends of two arguments really. not only of the difference, but it also depends of mean density of states, which for Riemann zeros is just z bar is 1 over 2 pi log e over 2 pi. Therefore, usually people consider in the universal limit situation where epsilon is of order 1 over d bar. So one will, we will substitute instead of epsilon, one consider epsilon small. So it's a y divided by log e over 2 pi. And consider the function of y. And then one can see that the, when e goes to infinity, so therefore one, we consider very high line Riemann zeros, the dominant term, which is not depends of a log of e over 2 pi, will coincide with the standard results for random matrices. But then one can have corrections which will appear, first of all, from expansion of zeta function and also from sum over primes from these two functions. And for example, if we do it, the first correction is like this. It's a standard form, sinus p x, let's do it x, over p x squared. And second correction, there is some constant divided by log squared e over 2 pi. And here you have sinus squared pi x. And so on. You have a whole series of the correction. All these correction terms very nicely agree with numerics of Odliska for very high excited zeros. I think, that, which I was always, that these formulas which are here are valid with all power precision of logs. And the corrections for this formula should be here some kind of 1 over e, I would say 1 half optimistically, error, which is enormous, because for Odliska calculation, he considers zeros close to 10 to the 23. Therefore, all corrective terms, which is the power of e, is really practically senseless. You cannot see it for any one statistics. But on the other hand, log is not extremely big, and the corrective terms here can be easily seen from existing data.
What do you mean over square root? After you subtract it off, all the extra terms, you have this data.
Yes, then you see nothing. You see white noise. If we subtract, it was to the 10 to 23.
Right, you have some.
I have to, yes, but I have to find it here. This is a two-point correlation function compared with Odliska data. And the solid line is just this GUE result. And it looks like it's very nicely agree with the numerics. But now we subtract from Odliska data, subtract this function. And we will see that something remains. This is a subtraction for epsilon, which is a scalar epsilon. Epsilon here is just which is x here. So it's a this distance is a 1 over log t distance which is here. And you see that the difference clearly shows the deviations. And you continue this game. We did it for 20, but one can continue. I don't know, say one more picture and that will be all. This is from 15 to 20, and you see that solid line is the exact function which I have showed you before. Some products of prime. I did not use expansion here. because x is 20 and log is not very large, even for 10 to the 23. So you see it's continuing, and if you do it larger, you will see the same. But if you subtract from the data a real two-point correlation function, which I showed you before, if you will subtract it, you will see that remains practically nothing. Remains just white noise connected with a method of at least a computation. He uses beans. Not the subtracting whole function, but computed numerically. All the terms which I suppose that should be exact. And you see it's practically nothing. And what we did, we compute the histo. No, but there is a, it's not, it's a, here fluctuation is related because when you compute two-point correlation function, you have finite number of points, you know. And you have beans, you have arrest, you have Gaussian fluctuations, and this is exactly what we have computed here. If we analyzed this deviation and just asked what will be histogram of distribution of these distances, it's just Gaussian, very nicely Gaussian, with a width which is exactly corresponds to at least beans. He have in the computation he used special beans and he indicated what beans he have used. It's nothing. You cannot see any deviation. It means to see the deviation, you should consider low energy, and we did not. You should go for smaller energy to see something.
Also, can you
write
down the exact
formula? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. So, as I said, you have two terms, diagonal and non-diagonal. And each, this is the zeta function as usual. And f are convergence product or sum over primes. These are f diagonal. One can represent it in a more nicer form, but it's not important. It started with m equal 2, so it's converged. And this is a converge also because it's 1 over p squared. And if you try to compute this constant, it includes, first of all, a Stirling constant related with the expansion of zeta, but also sum over primes. For example, in this constant, there is a contribution from a log, I don't remember, log squared or log p minus 1 squared, something like this. So it's non-universal constant which depends on the system under consideration. So it was what we have considered last time. Probably I will not put because I will look, put some other picture here. Now I will try to consider higher correlation functions. I will try to convince you that using the same ideas one can compute 3 and 4 point correlation functions, and probably tomorrow if I will compute n point correlation functions. But to do this, I would like to use a not exact formula because it's so tedious that I will like to use asymptotic formulas. We have seen that if one compute this sum where alpha of h is a Hardy-Littlewood stuff, then asymptotically when e goes to infinity and x log e is a constant, it tends to this factor. It means that if you compute only this guy, sum over h here, then it goes to simple function z minus log of y, but whatever y is here, theta log y minus z. And z, from now I will denote it, this log is 2 pi density of step, and theta is a step function. This is a formula, asymptotic formula of Hardy-Littlewood, which I will use permanently in this later discussion. I can use exact, but then it's so tedious that I cannot write something nicely. And also I will need some kind of slightly more general Hardy-Littlewood conjecture. It is the same in the same paper. Hargelickel would put a whole bunch of conjectures. And I will need the conjecture which they called conjecture D, which counts the number of prime pairs such that MP equal NQ plus H. MN are arbitrary numbers, for example, 2P, 3N plus H. And according to this conjecture, it's the same, exactly the same status as conjecture was before. It's slightly generalized because you permit you not only count pair primes, pair of primes, but you can count some kind of arithmetic relations between primes. And according to this conjecture, it's also N over log squared N times alpha bar of H, and it's the same function, it's except that you have 1 over N here, which is related with this N. It's just simple fact. And then you have the same constant as before, and here you have products over prime which divide H, which divide M, which divide N. P minus 1, P minus 2. And also very important here that H should be coprime to M, N, and of course PQ if you have here. Otherwise it's not a prime. So this is a Hargee-Littlewood conjecture, slightly more generalized, but I will need this form of conjecture to compute some correlation functions which will appear later. I will put it here in order that these two ingredients will be important to me, this and this. So I start of computing three-point correlation function. What it should be? Three-point correlation function, first of all, depends on three arguments. And according to random matrix prediction, three-point correlation functions is equal of determinant of 3 by 3 matrices. You have here the value of S at the origin. S, I remind you, is standard factor which was before. And when X equals G, S is equal just D bar. Here you have S, X1, X2, X1, X3, and so on. And if you express this determinant, you will see that you have S cubed, then you have a D bar cubed, then you have D bar times two-point correlation function, because X1, X2, X2, X1 is just two-point correlation function. And you have three terms of A. And some other guy, which is called connected three-point correlation functions. I will not like to consider two-point because I have discussed it. So I will discuss only connected three-point correlation functions. And connected three-point correlation functions is the same determinant but with a D bar, with a zero on the diagonal. So if you so you have a determinant, so you have products of these terms, a product of these terms and nothing else. And if you expand these products, you will see that you will get this formula. I will not do it because it's just simple manipulations of sinus. So GUE predictions, it is equal quite complicated formula x1 minus x2, x2 minus x3, x3 minus x1, is some combination of sinus. Is it possible to obtain exactly the same formula in the formalism which I have discussed now, which I will discuss now. Okay, we plug in three density of states and put in mean value. You have three density of states, you have product of three density of states, which was oscillating part of three density of states. And it includes four different terms. First of all, each density was contained the term with energy plus, energy minus. Therefore, here it will be energy log of product of three primes. Here you will have a log of prime divided by two other primes, and so on. First of all, the most important, as I told you before, this energy average. This energy average is supposed to wash out all the terms if you have here some kind of large factor in the exponent. At least it should be very small. So first of all, it wash out this term completely. But how one can have small coefficients here? it should be that in this term P1 equal P2 P3 plus integer. In this term should be P2 equal P1 P3 plus integer. And here you have P3 equal P1 P2 plus integer. And this is the only possibility for three-point correlation functions to be have contribution after the smoothing. And H should be much smaller than these two guys. So we do it. So for example, for the first contribution, you have an exponent log P divided by P2, P3, but P1 equal P2, P3 plus H, is therefore when you expand, you will have energy H, P2, P3, and H should be smaller than the product. And now appear this is this conjecture, which is here. And if you play a little with it, you will see that you need to compute the following mean value of products of three lambda functions. You have compute mean value of lambda n2 and 3, and here you have lambda n2 and 3 plus h. It's your automatic. So you need to compute some other correlation functions which usually assumed. And if you use Hardy-Littlewood conjecture, you will see that you can compute it as before. Except the very important peculiarity here, that here h should be coprime to all these numbers. H should be coprime because I consider case where p2, p3 plus h is a prime. Therefore, h should not include factor which proportional to p2 either to p3. How one can obtain summation over h automatic which will not include this factor. It's one more the same story that I will use inclusion-exclusion principle. So sum of h, which is coprime to p1 and coprime to p2, it should be sum over all h minus terms which is proportional to p1 minus factor which proportional to p2. But because here it may be possibility that h which is here proportional to p2, I subtract it twice. I have added once more the same term h p1 p2. And if you use for all this correlation function exactly this guy which I showed you before, because here it will appear simple something, and if I use this guy which is here, you will see that I have to use its three term. I will have first of all the term log alpha 2 minus log n3, because it's just log of the exponent with the corresponding theta function. Then I have another term which corresponds to the multiplication for p2, so it will include. I will do it more quickly because probably you have sum over h e h e p1 p2 p2 p3. First of all, I sum over all h from minus to plus infinity. Then I subtract here e h multiplies by p2 divided by p2 p3 energy. Subtract also a term which will be e h p3 p2 p3 energy. And in principle, I have to add term EH P2 P3 divided by P2 P3 energy. But these terms are not important because we say that after smoothing, any terms which is finite in the exponent should be zero and H is integer. So this term I will not look by it, but this cancels, and you see that it's the same sum as before, except that now you have this y, which is here, substitute not for p2, p3, but just for p2, and then you substitute for p3, and so on. And you have here the sum like this. You have a product, which was log of y here. Then you have log of y, which remains here, e minus log of n2, which is remains here. So you see that this type of correlation functions can be estimated using Hardy-Littlewood arguments, or even much less than the total arguments, but just asymptotic form of it. And then the only which is remains to compute is very simple. The only stuff which you have to compute, you need to compute just integral, normal triple integral. We can do it. So you see, the remaining integral is not a triple, it's a double integral. Alpha, by definition, is a log of n, of corresponding p or n. Alpha 2 is a log of p2, alpha 3 is a log of n3, and when you substitute, you will see that the only stuff which appear in your complicated formula for this contribution, and this is a contribution from p1 equal p2, p3 plus h, reduced to this integral. This integral is, after all, it's integral. Probably I even will not show how it can be computed, but you can believe that I can compute this integral. It's not a big deal. And then, therefore, it's a double integral. If somebody will be interested, I can discuss it. But if you compute it, you will see that this integral equal Ez x1 minus x2, and that, I remind you, is the log of energy divided by 2 pi. Here you have x2, x2, x3, x3, and 1, and also the second term. So, and this is a result of the term which I have considered. But then you need to consider whole machinery. You should sum first term, and then you have interchange 1 of 2, 1 of 3, which corresponds to p2 equal p3 p1 plus h and so on. And if you do it, you will see that you obtain these results, which exactly agree with GOE results for three-point correlation function. Therefore, for two-point, we have need Hardy Littlewood arguments for p equal q plus h. For 3 points, you need arguments for p equal q1, q2 plus h. So it's a for 2 point. This is a for 3 point. Now we will go for larger. And just this formula and manipulation, of course, it's everything formal, but still it includes something non-trivial, that if you use Hardy-Littlewood, one can reproduce a quite complicated expression. Now we will go to four-point correlation function. And you can easily imagine that increasing number of points there is a path which is a standard, and there are some new phenomena which I will try to settle down. So what is a four-point correlation function? According to random matrices, it should be equal for this 4 by 4 determinant. And I will not even write its explicit expression now, because it's quite a tedious one. You have four determinant with all sinus, and you expanded it. And now I will try to compute it for Riemann case. What it means, that in Riemann case, you have a product of each oscillating density of state. You have lambda n1, lambda n2, lambda n3, lambda n4, divided by some Simpkins power 1 fourth. And here you have four terms related with each correlation function. And now what it should be? It should be, once more, energy average means that you should combine term in the exponent in such a way that no big term appear in front of energy. It should be small contribution, small factor in front of large energy. And you will see there is two main part of terms. First of all, the term which n1 is approximately equal n2 and 3 and 4 plus h. So this is the term which will be like this. So what that it means that one prime number should overcome the product of three other ones. And there is four different terms like this. And also, there should be terms where two prime numbers should be approximately equal the product of another prime number. And you will see that it's a new phenomenon which will reappear here. So once more, the same business, which should be now practically standard for you. We start with a, once more, if you carefully look for Hardy-Littlewood, you will see that here you have H divided by N2 and 3 and 4. Why we have this factor? Because it was E puissance E, P1, P2, P3, P4. And I told you, in order you have a log here, in order to have small log, I have to have P1 equal P2, P3, P4 plus H. Therefore, I will need correlation functions which includes this contribution, and 1 and 2 and 3, and therefore it means value of 4 lambda functions with these guys. And if you look for this formula which is there, you will see that it includes many terms. First of all, the term which appear here, because it's log y, log n2, log n3, log n4, corresponding theta function. And then it's appear whole bunch of functions which appear when I multiply h by n2, then I multiply by n3, then I multiply by n4 with a minus sign, and then I multiply by n2 and 3 and so on. And if you look carefully, you will see that you need to compute this kernel, which reduced to this kind of complicated integral. After all, it's just normal restriction of variables, nothing else. And therefore, one need to compute this integral from 0 to infinity. Why 0 to infinity? Because n is equal from 1 to infinity, therefore alpha from 0 to infinity. And every time you have this phenomena, you will see that you will have this 1 over n2, 1 over n3, n4. Therefore, you have d alpha 2, d alpha 3, d alpha 4, times this guy, which is here, and times this factor, which appear because you have corresponding alpha x, alpha x2, x3, and 4 in the exponent. Then you look once more to this integral. You look and you will see that it's equal like this. Assuming, of course, that every time when you have alpha positive, you add here positive imaginary part, and for each this argument you add some kind of positive imaginary part in order to have integral which converge. And if you do it quite tediously, you will obtain this result, that this integral equal product, you see it's four products of different x, products of two cosinus and so on. Then you continue this game and you will see that the total contribution from this type of terms can be written in some kind of form which will be not so interesting to you probably. You can write explicitly all the terms which appear plus all cyclic permutation of 1, 2, 3 and 4. And the answer will be here. But the most interesting and difficult appear the case where P1, P2 approximately equal P3 and P4, plus of course all possible permutations. Why it's so? Because first of all, there are here diagonal terms. I can achieve this equality by putting P1 equal P3, P2 equal P4, or P1 equal P4, P2 equal P3. So you have diagonal approximation. And you know well that every time you have product of squared lambda function, diagonal term, you cannot treat it from Hardy-Littlewood. It's not here. So you need to treat separately. Then you have contribution which is quite similar to what have been considered before. P1, P2 equal P3, P4 plus H. It's also close to. Then you have the terms which I call semi-diagonal terms, which means that P1 equal P3, but P2 equal P4 plus H, or vice versa. And the most complicated terms appear for the first time of the following form. you need also to take into account the case where m will be arbitrary integer, m times p1 equal n times p3 plus a constant, a h1, but np2 equal np4 plus h2, and h1 is small constant, and you see once more that the products p1, p2 equal product of p3, p4. This is the most complicated terms, because now I have to compute it for all mn, and then I have to perform the sum over all mn, which appear here. Therefore, the only things which I can do, I can start slowly, diagonal, off-diagonal, semi-diagonal, in these terms. And then in the end of my seminar, you will see that everything collected to the theorem which has to be obtained by some miraculous computations. So first of all, diagonal term. Diagonal term from now should not be difficult to you, because after all, it means that you have to compute this sum. Sum over n, lambda squared n of this guy. I remind you that I always ignore all correction terms, so the computation is extremely simple. And this guy is the alpha d alpha, so it's just x1 minus x3 squared, and this guy in plus permutation. And if you continue this, you will compute that the total diagonal term, all term taken into account, they produced the theorem like this. So this is have been computed as before in diagonal approximation, or which is the same as Montgomery theorem. So this term you can be sure that they nicely appear. Type 1 of diagonal calculations is something more tedious, because it once more includes all possible inclusion-exclusion guys. Here, h products of 2, of 3, of 4, and this guy you compute exactly as was before, and it's equal z minus alpha to alpha 3, because here you have log n 2, log n 3, and theta function, plus whole bunch of complicated expressions. But they are straightforward, because you do nothing except that you use carefully inclusion-exclusion principle. And you compute this, I don't know how, tens of integral, and what you will obtain of some expression, at the end of the day, or maybe few days, you will obtain the expression which is cosinus 2 pi d xe minus xg, sum over xg, and some products in the denominator. And if you look carefully, you will see that it is exactly the same answer as have been obtained for p1 equal p2, p3 plus 4 plus h. And it's also not by chance, and tomorrow I will show that it's general phenomena, that any time you have this contribution, it did not depend on what where you put p in different sites. So semi-diagonal also very simple, because here you have p1 equal p3, so it's mean diagonal for this variable, and two-point correlation function for this variable, and they will lead to this to these results. And then you compute total semi-diagonal, if you like, when you sum over all possible permutation, and you see that it's all once more cosinus 2 pi density of state x1 minus x2. And then you have whole bunch of, you have x1 minus x2, x3 minus x4, then you have the same argument here, and so on, and you get some results. The most, as I told you, the most tedious will be computation of the next term, which is a type 2 of diagonal contribution. Why it's the most tedious? Because you need to sum over all mn. Now I sum over all progression in some sense, np1 equal np2 plus constant. It's a, exactly as have been discussed in this huggy little business, for all possible mn's which are here. And also, r should be coprime to all numbers. So let's compute first term, lambda p1, lambda p3, mp1, mp3, plus h1. And then if you look to this formula, it will be 1 over n z minus alpha 3, which is related log of p3, minus log n, because you have n here, and the same theta function which appear in this form. And here I will ignore for a moment that h1 should be coprime with mn. I will repeat it slightly later. The same story for the second integral, L2 P3, MP2 equal MP3 plus H2, and you have exactly expression. You plug in, you play this resulting integral, and you will get something that this contribution equal 1 over MN. MN appear because it was N, it was N here, times two integrals E1, E2, which you can compute by exactly the same method which have been before. So E1 is a one integral of this type, E2 is this integral, and if you compute it, after all, it's nothing else, is to the double integrals, you can compute it quite easily, and then you get some expression for E1 for E2. Therefore, when you have product, you have this contribution for E1, E2. But on doing this, I forget that H should be coprime to MN. Therefore, I should include in all this computation inclusion-exclusion terms corresponding to the arbitrary factor of MN. Inclusion-exclusion principle is just like this, with a mu is a Möbius function. And therefore, for example, the first integral, which I showed you before, it was a z minus, if you put here arbitrary factor, you change h1 to h1 times delta. It means that here you have z minus alpha 3, which is log of p2, p3, minus log of n, but plus log of delta, a theta function here. And therefore, it's equivalent of computation of the same as before, but with a substitution z goes to z plus log delta. Therefore, you plug in this formula z, z plus log delta, and in this formula it will be the same story, and you will see what it will appear. Therefore, you get these formulas. So you have here sum over delta divided mn, log delta here, mu delta, and it's convenient to me separate all primes which are in m and separate all primes which are in n. Then I will see that this guy, due to existence of mu delta, it's easy to see that what is here is just product over all primes which divide m of the same factor, log pm x1 minus x3, in the same story for the primes which divide n. And there is no prime which divide mn because they have to be coprime numbers. The same story for x2. Is it clear how one can compute it? It's just really, it's very easy, because what you have a problem, you have a sum over delta which divides a certain integer equal mn, and here you have e x1 minus x3 log delta mu delta. Therefore, I can write it as a sum over primes p1 pk which divide q minus 1 power k e x1 minus x3 log p1 plus log p2 plus log pk. And if you look, what is it? It's just product over all primes which divided q, 1 minus e x1 minus x3 log p. Why this is so? Because if you expand this product, you will have 1, then you have minus terms corresponding to products sum of one products of prime plus term corresponding to two primes and so on. So it's just exactly like Euler product for zeta function, except that it's finite product. So and I split it in two parts for primes which are in M and primes which are in N. And the same with E2. Therefore, finally, we get this kind of integrals. And one has to sum over all integer mn, 1 over mn, product over primes which divided m, a product over primes which divided n of this expression. And also times of the factor which appear somewhere which was before. Which here you have log 4, here you have log 3, and you will have these factors. Therefore, I have to compute a certain sum over all integers of the following form. I have to compute the sum over all m equal 1 to infinity, 1 over m, 1 plus e alpha, which with a certain alpha, product over prime, which divide m, 1 minus e beta 1 log p, 1 minus e beta 2 log p. So you have a horrible sum, infinite sum in principle. And then one have to compute this beast for large, for all alpha beta, if you like. How one can do it? First of all, you will see that m can be factorized as the primes. First of all, you can sum over all power of primes, because sum over k, it will be just related to this factor. And then if you think a little, you will see that it's product over all primes, because I sum over all m. It means that I can sum over all p different in over all power k from 1 to infinity. And you see that it will correspond to the following guy. 1 plus, you have here the term which appear from this product, here the term which appear from this product, and here the term which appear from the summation over k for each k. Why it's so? Because once more, if I expand this product, what I will see? I will see 1, then I will see e to the power p, p minus 1, which corresponds to all numbers which has only one prime. Then I will have p1, p2, which corresponds to all numbers which has a product of two primes, and so on. Yeah, it's just a standard stuff. So I will put log here, and I would like to see, I will need all this expression, and really, when alpha beta is small. So I put log. A log is the sum over all primes. And now I substitute, instead of sum over primes, integral over primes, with the prime number theorem factor. dp over dp, this guy. And then you see that this integral reduced to something that you know very well. It's dt over t. And here you have exponential factor, which is assumed to be converged. This integral can be computed most simply just by taking derivatives over alpha. If you take derivative over alpha, it's standard integral. You see that it's one, you have here alpha, it will kill this t, and therefore it will appear this integral, and this integral is 1 over alpha, alpha minus beta 1, alpha minus beta 2, alpha minus sum of the betas. And therefore log of alpha, it was a derivative, therefore log equal log of this guy, and therefore finally, for sure, I just do it more naively, if you like. Of course I can do it. But just do the most simple case which I can imagine, maybe it's not too simple for... But therefore one gets that you have this integral rho, which I showed you before, sum over all of these factors, it just have a nice expression that it's alpha minus beta 1, alpha minus beta 2, alpha, alpha minus beta 1, minus beta 2, minus beta 3. I remind you that we do have two terms. In one term, alpha was x1 minus x2, beta 1 x1 minus x3 x2 minus x3, and therefore all this combination is x3 minus x4 x1 minus x2 and so on. In the second term you have this guy, so you have you did all stuff, you compute all integrals, and if you look what is a p, it will appear that it's 1 over 8 p power 4 6 1 minus 6 2, and horrible combination. But now it appears the new argument of the cosinus. Before it was only cosinus of the difference of two arguments. Now it's x1 minus x3 plus x2 minus x4, it plus all possible permutations. Therefore, we did, and now I will combine all terms together in order to be. Just you should believe me that if I did arithmetic error, it's by that it can be done without error. And so you see that the four-point to compute four-point correlation function, you need much more than it was for two and for three-point correlation function. You need, first of all, the theorem which appears when n1 equal n2 and 3 and 4 plus h, and it leads you to some kind of expression which depends on the cosinus of two arguments. The difference of two arguments is here, if you break it. Then you have diagonal approximation, which you know how to compute. And you see, diagonal always, there is no oscillating terms. This is why it's called sometimes smooth term. You don't have anything which oscillating like cosinus in this expression, and it leads to this diagonal contribution. Then you need terms which n1, n2, n3, n4 plus h, and it leads you exactly to the same answer, though the integrals were different, but it leads you to exactly the same answer. Then you need semi-diagonal contribution, n1 equal n2, n3 is equal slightly different, and you have higher order terms like this. And finally, in the most important terms from now, will be terms where you have n1 or p1 equal p3, m n arbitrary integers, and n2 equal n4, m. So m is here, n is here, plus small integers. And this contribution also can be computed, and it includes cosinus of the difference of four arguments. And I will not show you explicitly, because I will do it next time, compute exactly GUE contribution. But you should believe me that if we sum all this horrible expression, you will obtain exactly results for GUE correlation function of the four-point correlation function, which can be compactly written as determinant. But if you try to expand it in the trigonometric function, it looks like quite a mess. So even for 3, and one can compute it by hand for 1, for 2, for 3, but for 4, but for 5 is too many terms, and you will see that one can arrange it, it's more nicely arranged than to still it will be possible to compute endpoint correlation functions. Of course, in this computation, I once more ignore everything of the corrective terms, but it gives you something which you don't know before, that you can compute, assuming something very natural about primes, and only Hardy-Littlewood is the only nice conjecture which exists about prime numbers, of the correlation of prime numbers in the small intervals. But you don't only need correlation like this, you need correlations, more complicated correlation like this or like this. And really, you need all possible correlation functions of primes in arithmetic progression, really, because it's like a linear combination of primes. And if you do it, I hope to show you next time, you will get endpoint correlation functions for Riemann zeros. Thank you. Look, of course not. Because if I started to be more carefully, you cannot go more than two-point correlation function. Or maybe I misunderstand you. What do you mean?
Like the two correlations.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to some kind of motivation to look for higher order terms. Otherwise, you see, it's quite tedious. I know some more civilized method, but maybe it's even more strange will be to you. So,
why did you refer to a certain part of the Carlin equation as neglected?
Because it's a terminology which appear, if you look for Book of Meta, which is a standard reference, all correlation function can be reduced to some kind of low number blocks. For example, two-point correlation functions, you always have d bar squared plus, you have d bar squared minus sinus squared px squared. This term is a trivial part. Why it's trivial? Because it's coming from just a product d bar times d bar. It's a trivial part. I know it's a constant part. So for two-point correlation function, non-trivial information is here. It's called connected. If I have three-point correlation function, I have shown that you have product of one-point correlation function times two-point correlation function, all possible combination, plus something non-trivial. Because I can compute all low points, it's just a matter of automatic computation in some sense. So we throw away all non-trivial part, which can be separated in two independent part of a correlation function. There is a method how to do it automatically, but it's a standard way. It's a part which you cannot separate as a blocks when you go to infinity. For example, you take arguments one. If for example you have 4-point correlation function, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. It will be contribution which appear r2 x1 minus x2 r2 x3 minus x4, and if you put these two points together and these two points together, you will see that it does not decay. It's a non-connected part in some sense. So these trivial terms are, we of course we obtain this automatically. I will not discuss it, but it's a trivial part.
Is it like the
cluster? Yes, exactly. But there is a terminology probably connected in this sense that you can put arguments quite far from each other and they are not decaying. Otherwise, in this case, they are not connected. Yes, but how one can compare to what it could compare with? To my knowledge, no correlation, three-point correlation functions, for example, is very hard to compute. You need three labels close by. In even at least a data, is not so easy to compute non-trivial part, because this connected part exists and you can see it. But non-trivial part is very difficult. And to my knowledge, up to now, I did not yet see any necessity to compute it. Except probably for nearest neighbor distribution, one can obtain few terms without knowledge of higher correlation function. But of course, it's interesting subject. But you see, the formulas started to be even for 2-point correlation functions are not easy. And then you know what to do with it.
No, but to look if three zeros are here,
yes, it is possible, but it's possible, to my knowledge, it's not easy. For sure. I know only your paper, one paper which exists, I think, about. I don't know. Exactly. This is what I have in mind, that you will see a random matrix result first of all, and to see small corrections to random matrix is practically impossible. You know, it's just extremely difficult. It's possible, but.
Function and this random matrix in order to
extend some duality, and let's say if there's some analog of the RD little with the conjecture about random matrix, so some stuff like this.
But what do you mean primes in random matrices?
I mean that you use the fact that you use the conjecture of RD little with in order to obtain the fact that there are both correlation functions are the same for these two. In other words, there is some kind of duality.
If I understood correctly your question, you say if I impose random matrix correlation, what will be the correlation for prime numbers, for example? It has been done, of course. It is for dynamical system. You know this paper of seven authors, which is Milansky and group, and for prime numbers this also can be done. But then it's lit, as I showed you, that alpha of h is 1 minus 1 over 2h in some sense. You cannot obtain full Hartree-Fock root, but you can obtain this log, this z minus log, which is here. Yeah, it has been done, but it's only for two-point correlation functions, and it's too nasty to do something. Okay.